Hello, everyone, and welcome to iCritic Live. This is the podcast where we talk about movies, pop culture, and life in between. I'm your host, Kevin T. Rodriguez, film critic of iCritic.net. And thank you so much for spending a few minutes of your time with me today. And I'm going to talk about a bit of a controversial topic in the anime community. And unlike the J.K. Rowling topic, which I have made available for Patreon subscribers, if you want to support the show that way, you get an exclusive episode on a hot take of mine for J.K. Rowling and trans activists. I didn't feel like dealing with the comments of that. But I guess I'm going to have to be okay with dealing with the comments on this one, because I've got another hot take on a particular subject that has divided anime fans really for a few years now. Now, the situation is more or less wrapping up, and I think the news that came out last week definitely proves that, but I do want to bring it up. So I want to talk a little bit about voice actor Vic Mignogna and his little lawsuit against Funimation, Monica Rial, Jamie Markey. And this is a lawsuit that divided a lot of anime fans. Now, it's really long and it's really complicated, and I want to be about as objective as possible with this. I mean, with a situation like this, of course they're going to have a side, but I want to give the other side a chance to, I want to give them their day in court too, as you know. So anyway, Vic Mignogna was called out one day on Twitter, which is now X, for basically being a serial harasser. Like, he has had rumors for a long time that he's a creep, that he does things with women that he shouldn't. He did famously break up with a fiance because he cheated on her, and that is public. So, and this was on the eve of the opening of Dragon Ball Super Broly, which did very well at the box office and was kind of the start of a reemergence of anime films being in American cinemas and actually being profitable. And a YouTuber and former Channel Awesome member by the name of Mars Girl made the call out, and then there was a tweet from an anonymous person that also showed up on the same day where this person claimed that Mignogna did illegal things with her. And that started a hashtag called KickVic, which was basically a bunch of people coming together and saying that Funimation should really stop hiring this man. Now, this got very contentious because Vic Mignogna is one of the most popular anime voice actors of all time. And in fact, he still is, despite the fact that he really has not worked very much in anime for the past few years. And he hasn't worked in the industry very much for the last few years because the KickVic Twitter trend was a very effective way to Me Too him. And Funimation announced that they would no longer hire him. Anime News Network wrote a scathing article where they detailed a lot of the allegations. That was one of the cruxes of the reason that Funimation let him go. And then before you know it, other companies also decided to drop him for the services. Now, originally, Vic Mignogna did like a little apology saying that he has made mistakes and he is going to work on himself. And then he did the one thing that I personally feel he was in his legal right to do. And I actually, the more I looked at the case, felt that he had a legitimate case, in my opinion. There were details that were very, very suspicious and probably warranted suing over. But that being said, it probably wasn't a smart idea. He decided to sue Funimation and voice actors for defamation and tortious interference, all these things. He was seeking like over $1 million from the company, from the voice actors, for basically losing his career. Now, some people say, hey, you cannot sue if you did these things. My argument is, well, if you believe you did not do these things, or maybe you genuinely didn't do these things, or you feel like you've been wronged, you can sue for anything. I actually made a video that was very controversial where I pointed out that Illuminati, a YouTuber that has come under tremendous controversy, and you can look it up, I'm not going to rehash it here, I actually argued that Illuminati did have the right to sue people that she felt were defaming her. I felt it would not be a wise decision to do because the evidence that was coming out didn't point to her being innocent or anything like that, but she was allowed to do it if she felt like she was wronged, which I believe everybody, if you feel like you have been wronged and you feel like you can prove it, well, then you can sue the people. You also have to keep in mind that, well, you can get cross-examined, you can get countersued. If the case is dismissed, you could be on the hook for a hefty legal bill, yada, yada, yada. And by the way, Illuminati had a lot less doubt that she is not a good person than Vic Mignogna. Vic Mignogna has had these consistent rumors. And you know, the fact that so many people that I have worked with in the anime industry who have known about him for years openly despise this man. They despise Vic Mignogna. And they are taking glee in him having a downfall. You know, that kind of says something. That says maybe this guy is not the greatest guy in the world. Unfortunately for them, during the brief legal proceedings and everything like that, there was never any actual proof or smoking gun that he had done something. And the Anime News Network article that was so instrumental to Funimation deciding they were going to sever ties with him actually had to be modified several times because apparently they had taken pictures and quotes out of context, and people who had either commented on the article or had their pictures used without permission were raising their hands and saying, this encounter was perfectly fine, nothing creepy about it whatsoever. I don't appreciate that they used this picture or this quote or this blog diary to paint him in a way that I don't approve of, and also to paint a situation a way that didn't happen from my perspective. So it was always suspicious, and probably the thing that bothered me the most about this whole thing, well, there are a couple things. First of all, the fact that this really got kicked up by a hashtag, not by any actual photos or documents or anything coming forward, but that one of the things that was trying to get the Vic stands, as they call them, to back down is that there was another post that showed someone who was working for Funimation had their house broken in and, you know, glass on the ground and things like that, and saying that this is what happens with the Vic Mignogna fans. They have actually come and broken into my house. And other Funimation employees retweeted those pictures saying this could get dangerous. But when internet detectives did what internet detectives do, they went to this person's Facebook and Twitter page, went back a couple of years, and found out that these photos were taken a couple of years ago for a routine break-in at the house, which caused a lot of egg on these Funimation voice actors who shared it. But also, this turned out this woman was on the HR team that decided Vic Mignogna's fate. So that was extremely suspicious for me anyway. But again, a lot of the people in the industry really were enjoying the fact that he was losing work, that he was not going to be in any more productions. And even after he lost this case a while ago, because, spoiler alert, Vic Mignogna did not win his defamation trial, they are still gloating, like every time he does something that he has to do to make money, like he has to be in a low-budget movie or he has to sell autographs on the internet, they actually gloat, like, look how far he's fallen. Like, can you believe it got to this point? It's a very weird situation. So I think with that much animosity, Vic Mignogna probably is not a saint. He probably, at the very least, wasn't nice to these people. Full disclosure, he's been on my channel. I've met him a couple times. He's always been very nice to me. But it's pretty clear that some of my, you know, freelance colleagues don't like him as much, and they probably had a bad experience with him. And there's this line on the internet where it's like some people truly like to see justice served, And some people just like to see people's careers crash and burn. It's like a sport for them. And so I've kind of been on the side of, look, I think this should go to court. I think the lawyers and the judges should hash it out. I think that at least on the surface, Vic Mignogna had a case to sue for defamation and tortious interference. But at the same time, you know, if he did that, there was risk that things were going to come out. Now, for the record, the way that the trial ended out, it didn't really go to trial. No real evidence was shown either way. It was dismissed because I think Mignogna's lawyer was frankly incompetent at what he was doing. And by the way, it has been noted that supposedly Mignogna went to several other lawyers, and a lot of the lawyers told him this was not a winnable case. And he found one that said it was a winnable case, but then that guy basically lost on everything. He did shady things, and you want to remember that because that's going to come out later. So Mignogna loses the case, and he loses it with prejudice, which means that he cannot refile this lawsuit. Like, he can come up with a bunch of new things. I don't think it can be refiled. That's what dismissing with prejudice actually means. And of course, it didn't help that anime fans got into pissing matches online. It didn't help that they like called the judge's house and threatened him. Things like that. Like, things that you really shouldn't do. Let the legal system do what it is supposed to do. And by the way, try not to argue with this stuff on X and Facebook and things like that. It is not worth it at the end of the day. And ultimately, Vic Mignogna lost. Now, I don't like that the people who hate him said, see, the judge agreed he was a sexual deviant. No, the judge did not agree that. The judge made no claim on what he did. The only ruling he made was that, hey, you haven't proven substantially that this is defamation or that there was tortious interference. And you're a public figure, so it's harder to even claim defamation because yada, yada, yada. So therefore, the claim is dismissed with prejudice. And Vic Mignogna appealed the case all the way to the Texas Supreme Court, which I couldn't believe he, like, appealed it to the Texas Supreme Court. Of course, the Texas Supreme Court was not going to hear this case. Frankly, they've got better things to do than hear a case where anime voice actors are pissing at each other. They just don't, they don't have the resources nor the will or the desire to hear a case like that. Well, here's the thing. I am of the opinion that, look, you sued once, it was dismissed without prejudice. Appeal it to what you can, but the fact that he did it all the way to the Supreme Court, it's like, look, you're not going to get that one. And here's the other thing. When you make these appeals, it takes a while before the appeals are even ruled on, whether they will be heard or not. And as you are appealing, the judgment that has been made against you there's interest attached to it. So basically, the one move that the other side, which is Funimation, Monaco, Real, yada, 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 that they had was that because of what the judge said, they were able to countersue and under the anti-slap law or something like that and basically get him to pay for their legal expenses, which I want to say were not as high as they wanted it to be. They wanted like $250,000. The judge in Texas basically capped it at 80 or something like that. It was much lower. But now with all this time having passed, the 18% interest that was put on there a few years ago has gone up substantially. And it was reported, this is a legal filing, that Vic Mignogna agreed to pay Monica Rial and Ron Toye, I believe that's what his name is, like a little over $380,000 in damages because that's how much the bill went up while he was doing his appeals. It went from like $80,000 to $100,000 to the over $250,000 that they were asking for. Heck, it went above, like, it went above what they were asking for. It's like, that cannot be seen as anything but a win for Ron and Monica. Make no mistake, that is a win for them. And now that the Texas Supreme Court basically said no, and there's nowhere else for it to go, of course Vic Mignogna has to now settle and has to pay his debt, because keep in mind, bankruptcy doesn't protect you from legal losses. And by the way, I agree that bankruptcy shouldn't do that, because there have been so many corporations that went to court, lost, and then filed bankruptcy to avoid paying it. And basically at one point we said, no, you can't do that anymore. You got to pay your legal losses. And so, and that's just Ron and Monica. That is just Ron and Monica. This doesn't even count Jamie. This doesn't count Funimation. And he could actually be on the hook for this for over $500,000. Maybe even close to the $1 million that he was suing for. I don't know. Now, some of you might be sitting here going like, well, I mean, he was really famous and he got like a lot of rules. Like, obviously he can take this hit. And it's like, I'm not 100% certain he can. I mean, he's going to have to. He's going to have to find a way. But here's the thing. Anime voice actors notoriously are not paid a lot of money. There's a reason why unionization and Crunchyroll is like a big topic, because they do not get paid enough to live, and they're usually non-union contracts, and it's a big thing. The reason Vic Mignogna was successful is because he would jump to anime studio to anime studio. He could do multiple voices. His talent was great. And look, whatever you think about him, his talent was always on display in anime. It was always on display. Like, he could voice young boys, he could voice adults and elderly. Like, he was just really good. So sometimes he would do multiple voices. He could play the good guy, he could play the bad guy. And of course, he was super interactive with his fans. So he had a fan base that supported him. And he would routinely have the longest line at like Anime Expo or these anime conventions, where they would pay $50 to get a signature of some sort. He would always have the longest line. So I have no doubt he was successful, but I don't think he was that successful. I don't think he's $500,000 successful. So this is going to hurt him. It is going to hurt him badly. And here's the other reason why it might not have been a good idea to sue. Because here's the thing. I am saying this as someone who feels like he had a legitimate claim from my perspective. He had a legitimate claim to sue. And, you know, if I were in that position, I would be very tempted to sue as well. But here's the unfortunate thing. This industry is small. And it's a very tight-knit industry. Especially now that Funimation, that Crunchyroll owns most of it. And the fact that he is now the guy who sued a company for firing him, like, he will never be able to work with these people again. And these people now work at Crunchyroll. Like, those bridges are burned completely. And here's the thing, had he not sued, like, let's say he did not sue, and Animat brought this up, and by the way that he worded this makes me wonder if he's actually there about justice or if he just likes to see someone suffer, because if you're actually about justice, you would never want them to come back. But he pointed out, like, hey, maybe he just keeps his mouth shut for a year or two, and maybe once this blows over, maybe he can start chipping his way back in, because there have been other anime voice actors who, and there is a plane that's hitting above me. I don't know if you can hear that, but yeah, there's a plane hitting above me. But anyway, there have been several anime voice actors who got out of this industry for several years, and then they were able to come back once things had cooled, once they showed that they had repented and did. I mean, I know it sounds very cult-like, but keep in mind that it's not very different from Japan. Like, if you go to Japan and someone gets caught with recreational drugs, there's like a process where they make a big apology, they're dropped by their agent, they basically don't work for a year and a half, and then if they want to come back, they can try to come back with a different agent and yada, yada, yada. It's a this big thing. But something like that probably could have happened to him had he not sued, because he does have a huge fan base, and that fan base buys a lot of stuff. So he probably blew his shot there. And now that he owes all this money and he can never come back to this industry, what is the future of Vic Mignogna? Well, here's my prediction. And by the way, Vic, if for some reason you're listening to this, feel free to come on the podcast to talk about what your future plans are. I'm sure people would love to know. But I personally believe that this is going to hurt a lot. Like financially, like unless you are a mega million earner, $500,000 estimated, guess. Don't know for sure. The only thing I know for sure is the $382,000 that he owes Ron and Monica. But assuming it's a little bit more because he has to pay Funimation and Jamie, it will hurt tremendously. He might have to sell some assets even. I don't know if he's been investing his money wisely. Hopefully he has. And he could write this, he can pay it off and just kind of be done with the anime industry, or at least for a good while. Now then, what happens after that? Well, here's the good news for him. He does have a huge following. He still has fans who will defend him to this day. He still commands large presences at the anime conventions that will have him. So, what's that mean? Well, first of all, he can always sell autographs on the internet, and he's got one for like $10, but like when I went to see him, he had these like glossy images and stuff like that that he was charging $54. If he put those up, kind of made like little collectible series like that, he could make some money that way. Also, he is a singer. He has released some albums. He can refocus on recording music, and a lot of his music's actually pretty good, not gonna lie. I mean, some people might not like some of his Christian stuff, that's fine, but like, yeah, like I've listened to like many of his albums, and a lot of them are really, really good. Like, he can sing, and that's one of the reasons why he was also dubbing anime songs. In fact, on that note, considering how many VTubers and stuff have made careers dubbing anime songs, like Amelie and Jonathan Young, I bet you, if he did that, he would be able to capitalize on the anime fans that love him quite a bit. I think he would be one of the most successful out of all of them. And, of course, he could become a YouTuber. Like, he can actually do live streams. He could talk to his fans. He could talk about the anime dubbing process, his opinion on the industry, things like that. And I bet you he would do very, very well in that. So, here's the thing. I believe he has been dealt a harsh punishment. Now, I'm not saying whether it's a deserved harsh punishment or not. I'll leave that for you to decide if that was a harsh, deserved punishment. But he has gone to court, he lost, and he has to pay a lot of money that will probably really hurt him financially. But that said, he still has a fan base, he still has the talents, and he can still sell his merchandise, his autographs, he can do live streams, he can record his music. There is a path for redemption for him, at least financially. Now, one more thing you might hear from him, this might not be the last lawsuit. I mean, there's a very real possibility it could be, but here's something that you might want to keep an eye out for. I think there's a decent chance that he sues his lawyer. Because unlike his lawsuit against Funimation and Monica Rial and Jamie Markey, first of all, personal perspective, he should have started by suing the people on Twitter who were spreading the rumors, and Anime News Network had to change the article because some of their sources weren't strong enough to stay in the articles. I would have sued them first, but there would have been no money in that. I think that's why he went for Funimation and the voice actors first. They had the money, and it was personal to him. I think that was a mistake. I think he should have gone after the little fish first, get a precedent set, and then he could go after the big fish. But that being said, that was a choice his lawyer made. What's more, his lawyer was doing very shady things. His lawyer forged some signatures and submitted paperwork late. And his lawyer was on YouTube with other YouTubers talking about the case and the strategy. It's like, lawyers should not do that, ever. There were some clear ethical violations that were done here. And so, if there is another lawsuit, I suspect that he will be suing his lawyer. And unlike the Funimation case, this is one that I think he could actually win because there were some clear ethical breaches of how this worked out. But on the other hand, considering he was on the channel that the YouTube channel that his lawyer went on frequently during the case, he might just consider them buddies and he's just not going to do that. I don't know. So, but at the same time, I don't know if he's what the future of him holds. I don't know if he's going to be financially ruined. I don't know if he'll have a career comeback. All I know is that he has talents and a fan base. And if he was smart, he would use that. You know, it's a shame that the anime community more or less turned their back on him. But he still has a lot of those fans. I think doing anime dub covers is probably the best thing he can do. He can sell CDs, he can get streams, he can become a YouTuber, live streamer. And, you know, had he not sued them, that might have even eventually paved the way for him to get back. I don't think it's going to happen now. But those are my thoughts on the whole Vic Mignogna situation and where it wound up. So hopefully I was fair. Hopefully you all appreciated the different angles that I decided to look at. I don't know what we're going to talk about next week, but hopefully I'll have a guest on here. And as always, thank you for spending a few minutes of your time with me. If this is your first time, welcome. We'd love to see you. We're happy to see you here. We'd love to see you come back, though. So please don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, Deezer, YouTube, whatever your podcasting listening device is. And we will see you next week with another episode of iCritic Live. Take care.